Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Hi, Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream. I've got a great guest for you today. Welcome, because today I am going to be speaking with my friend, Neil Gore. He represents the research that he's been doing for years on ancient wisdom, the future science of sound, vibration, and frequency, as well as in-depth explorations into ancient civilizations. Dare to Dream won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast. Welp Magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it's high ranking on Apple Podcasts. You can find this show on any major podcast platform. The show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here in Access Consciousness. They do beautiful energy work all around the world. So if you'd like to take a class or become a facilitator, go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com. If you'd like to unlock your cosmic potential with a phenomenal free Starseed video and report for an engaging exploration that investigates many starseed species in depth, learn your galactic origins, discover your star lineage and celestial ancestry now. Go get your free gift. It's at debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. Another gift for you. I was recently interviewed once again, second time, on Gaia TV with the amazing George Nori. And I'd love you to catch my interview. In fact, watch both of my interviews on the Gaia TV platform. My gift to you for doing that: 1 week free subscription, if you don't have a subscription yet, to Gaia TV. There's so much programming there that you would love. And do a search under my name so you pull up my interviews. Check them out. Totally different conversations. I've been hearing a lot from people who have seen me on the Gaia platform. So get your free subscription. Watch my interview. Go to debbiedashinger.com/Gaia, G-A-I-A. My guest today, Neil Gore, has acquired knowledge from the multitude of Portal to Ascension events that he puts on, plus his past life regressions, meditation, and his own research into the field of awakening. Neil is a philosopher, historian, researcher, and spoken word artist. He presents his research on the ancient wisdom and future science of sound, vibration, and frequency, as well as in-depth explorations into ancient civilizations, archaeological discoveries, space anomalies, shedding light on hidden esoteric wisdom, and exploring ways in which we can create unity and peace on Earth. If you'd like to learn more, go to his website at portaltoascension.org. And with that, I welcome Neil to Dare to Dream. It's so great to have you back.
Thank you, Debbie. It's good to be back here with you.
And so much has changed in our lives and our friendship since you were on the first time. It's amazing.
Have I been on since we became good friends? I think it was just before that, right? Whoa.
We didn't really know each other when you first came on the show. I was just a fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now we've done some events. I've done some of your events around the world, life-changing stuff. Yep. And I want you to share more, but we'll do that later, about some of the great things you have coming up. You always have things coming up. Is that part of your human design, by the way, or astrology, like that you're the big matrix guy? You can see globally.
Well, okay, so in my human design, it's crazy because years ago I got it done and it said manifesting generator, but now I'm doing it and it's saying generator. So maybe I did it wrong. I don't know. But so I have the generator energy, and then my astrology is very weird because it's almost like everything is in one house and then another house on the other side. And one house is spirituality, and there's like, I don't know, like 20 lines in there. And the other house is communicating spirituality, Plus, I'm a 5-time Scorpio, and so
Oh my God. Whoa.
I'm underworld. I'm all about bringing things from the underworld to the surface to be expressed, and that's what Portal to Ascension is doing. We're pretty much digging deep, allowing things to come to the surface to help people get perspective on it. But I've got to add to it, do it in a way where we provide solutions, not just, I went through the conspiracies myself in the beginning where I had no solution. I thought we were screwed, right? And now it's just like, look what's happening, right? But what does this really mean for the bigger picture? Why did it occur? What lessons do we learn from this? How do we evolve?
Yes. Thank you for saying that. I was just interviewed on a show, and that's a lot of what came up. A lot of focus on how awful things are on the earth and how are we to follow what you're saying? And I'm the same. I mean, if we came here to be light workers, how do we give up our energy to the dark? And that's exactly what we're doing when we get overwhelmed by world events. And I want to be really clear. Sometimes the more I learn, like about deep state and cabal and things like that, it hurts my heart. It's like, how do humans do this to other humans? And I go down that rabbit hole, but I very quickly say, not for you, Debbie. That's not why you came here. Don't allow them to win. You take back why you know you're here, the light you came to be, and focus on that. That's your path. So I resonate.
Yeah, exactly. And we all have different paths to and different types of energies that we're bringing in to the world, And to me, it's almost like when you say that right there, it's like I just had a conversation yesterday called on another podcast, and the title was "What is Evil?" Right? Because they asked me, "What do you want to speak about?" And I said, "I want to speak about what evil is."
Wow.
And we did a whole hour of conversation, so deep. It's coming out later tonight. And because I'm doing the shadow workers course to really confront that, and it's all about really what is did source allow everything to exist, including evil, as equal as light? And if experience, a lot of people say the meaning of to life is to experience, and if that's the case, does everything under the sun, is that valid? And then when we see atrocities and things like that, how do we reconcile and rehabilitate the darkness rather than push it away? You know what I'm saying? And so, and when it comes to the crazy things in the world, the music industry, the Hollywood, it's like we know that hurt people hurt people. How do we get to the root of the cause of why this even happened in the first place so that we nip it in the butt and we don't start continue to perpetuate this system?
And did you say you were a quadruple or five
Well,
time?
actually, I realized that I thought it was 5-time, but I checked the other day. I'm quadruple Scorpio.
Well, Lord Jesus, okay?
My
So that
Venus is
makes
a Scorpio
sense that
too.
you'd be into shadow work. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
that's really, Scorpio, of course, it's a sexy sign, but Scorpio is also the subconscious. It is the dark. It is the
Yeah.
psychic. It is going deep into. And of course, it's a deep emoting sign as well. Feeling sign makes so much sense that you're taking this on right now. And you also brought up the music industry and all of that. And I love in your bio this information about sound and frequency and vibration, which, by the way, Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, look at sound, vibration, and frequency. So you're doing work, you're stepping into that even more. How does that contribute to everything that you're doing right now, to the health of the world and humanity?
Yeah. Well, on multiple layers, because Portal to Ascension has now become a platform where I wish I could sit down one day and calculate all the topics that we've done. I don't think it's humanly possible to figure out all the information. For example, you at our cruise, right? We had what, 40 presentations out of 22 speakers. And I don't even remember what every person spoke about. I couldn't even sit through them all, right? So we've had so many different pieces of information. And the reason for that is to get to a point where we can have awareness for people at different walks of life that need different types of information to get to a greater truth of what they are, right? And what we are. So, we've become a one-stop shop for consciousness, and the ultimate goal is really just to realize that we have the ability to live on this planet in a much more harmonious way, exponentially more harmonious way than we have been, and that we can create a paradigm that works for everyone. Even our system right now, when it, I don't like to bash on economic systems, but less capitalism in general, I'm not going to bash on, but let's say crony capitalism, right? The corrupted version of it. where with big industries become have the same rights as humans. You know, it gets to a point where this system relies on an impoverished class of workers that are taken advantage of. Our system is designed in a way that there needs to be income inequality, and there needs to be this huge gap between people who have the needs met and people that don't, right?
Right.
So it's like, how do we get to a point where we break down these systems and create something new? And every single thing that we do in Portal to Ascension, we might be talking about ancient Egypt, Peru, a UFO landing. All of it leads to the same place. It all goes into how do we do the inner work within ourselves so that we can be at a place of peace and harmony, non-reaction, and through that, we can all start having conversations rather than being so triggered by each other and seeing, so much and cultivating so much division, right? And start coming together as one. So that's like a long-winded answer, really, of like kind of partly of what the mission is for Portal to Ascension.
Yeah. And how is your sound manifesting? What are you doing with sound right now?
Yes. So with sound frequency, I mean, sound and vibration was how I got into this whole thing, right? Well, I got into it first because I was looking at the connection between Yeshua and Krishna. Next step was seeing the flood story and realizing there was flood stories around the world. And then as I was looking at some of those ancient scriptures speaking about floods, there were metaphors in their texts that seemed like quantum physics, seemed like conversations around frequency, seemed like they were talking about how a spacecraft came to Earth. Describing things in a very creative, artistic way, but it looked like they were describing artistically advanced science. And so I started thinking, well, is this kind of like a quantum physics element of the ancients, where they knew that we were made out of subatomic particles that are constantly vibrating? And if we are constantly vibrating, does that mean all things that vibrate affect all other things that vibrate? Right, that was my train of thought. And could then I went back to the religion I was raised into, which is Hinduism, and I was thinking, could meditation, Ayurveda, chanting, Tibetan bowls, all these instruments from the ancient times have a purpose? Because those beings, people knew that we were made out of frequencies, and if we had other devices that resonated harmonic frequencies, we were able to heal, align, uplift, enlighten ourselves, right? So that was kind of like ancient history to aliens to sound. So when I started doing events in 2008, the first 2 to 3 years was every 2 weeks for like 2 years was a sound healing event, right? So it really was my foundation. And the reason why I love bringing into almost everything is because everything is sound. You can speak about every type of technology and you can relate it to frequency on some level because all things are frequency, right? So it's always a huge component of what I'm doing with Portal to Ascension. As you know, at our conferences, we have a lot of we have sound healers. You did music as well, bringing your codes. And then I'm going to be doing a music festival in honor of sound in Tulum in January 2027. I don't know if we spoke about that yet.
No, I
4 day
will.
music festival. I've been busy, so
I'll say.
yeah, that's going to be January 2027, second weekend in Tulum, and we will have a conversation about that, but I want you to be a part of it. And so now I'm more intentionally, I've done sound healing conferences, I have another online sound healing conference coming up, but I want to create more experience oriented events with Portal to Ascension. And I find that the experience that people have the best experiences with sound and also with, I would say, breath work as well. So I'm going to start utilizing those more and incorporating into everything I create.
Oh my God, I love what you're saying so much. I absolutely agree. I had somebody who brought me into one of her sort of event summits. I did very well. I got several clients from it, really wonderful people. And she wants to start doing events. She asked me to do a Zoom and she wanted to pick my brain. What makes event great or maybe not great? Perfect question. And I was happy to contribute my many, many years of speaking and being at events. And that was numero uno. I said, you great. First of all, you have to have good speakers. Don't have uneven speakers, right? Because people don't like if they go and they're paying for something and they don't have someone phenomenal in front of them. However, number one, you must have balance. If it's just all information, 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 there's no way to absorb it. And music is the great healer. It's the great unifier. And when
Yes.
you have different modalities like you're talking about, Neil, it people walk away with everything. And even our friend Marilyn Gavicky is doing a retreat in June, and she's having Rob and I come out. We're gonna do music for her retreat.
I
She's
love
very
that.
excited. So this stuff
Where's that gonna be?
in New York. June 24th through the 30th, or 25th through the 30th. I'll be there for my birthday. I'm doing a
Oh,
retreat for the
awesome.
first time.
That's beautiful. Yeah, 100% agree. Like having that component to it just allows you to integrate and drop into the experience. And you said it right there, it's the great unifier. We can get together, especially the way you do music. You do it in a way where people are singing along, right? They could be a part of it. And so that's why I want to do it even more. I want to go back to my roots, if you will, and do this on a bigger level. So the Tulum Music Festival I'm doing, just to give you a little spoiler alert here, that the first day is going to be 4 days. And the first day, I'm flying in indigenous elders and tribal dancers from all over the Americas, from the southern tip all the way to the northern north of Canada. I have a sponsorship plan where I'm hopefully bringing in the money, and it's working right now. People are responding to me to sponsor that alone. And it'll be a whole indigenous day. And this hasn't happened in over 2,000 years. Okay. And I don't actually, this may have never have happened because some of these tribal leaders may have never interacted with the other tribes before. And it's going to be all indigenous music, all indigenous dancing. And I'm going to have indigenous panels as well, where they get to discuss and have open conversations, right? So, and the crazy thing is, Mexico, a lot of Mexico, but definitely Tulum area, had been utilized for thousands of years for tribal meetings between North and South America. So it's like reconnecting to that. And that awareness, that wisdom, you know? So I'm
You know
excited
what I'm
about.
thinking of while you say that? I'm taking notes. But also, at this last part you just said, the North and the South coming together. I don't know if you knew this. This is part of the Pachacuti. This is part of the Peruvian prophecy. They have prophesied every 500 years exactly what's going to happen since the beginning of their people, the Andean Inca people. So this is ancient. We are right now living in the middle of a Pachacuti. Pachacuti meaning time of change, right? And so it's not a myth, it's true. And there's many things they say that will happen during this time, including the rise of the divine feminine. But another sign of the healing is when the North and the South come together. The eagle and the condor fly together. And that's exactly what you're describing.
You know, and as soon as you started speaking, I already knew what you were going to finish the sentence with because I knew you were going to say the eagle and condor because it completely skipped my mind until you started speaking. And I was like, oh, wait a second. She's going to speak about the eagle and the condor. And I was like, wow, I forgot about it. But the crazy thing is, there's an eagle and condor statue at Iqbalam, which is an hour from Tulum. So imagine if we could arrange something as an excursion to take all the indigenous people to one of the spaces where that prophecy is in near Tulum. That'd be pretty amazing.
Oh my
Just south
God.
of Chitzen
You know, this stuff makes
Itza.
me
Make
want
it
to cry
happen.
because it's so like goosebumps
Yeah,
exciting.
so I'm building a team right now. Chris and I are the main producers. I'm getting in other people. I'm calling in to Tulum Festival people that live there, that have been doing these events. There's going to be levels of production, the core production team, the next level of production, and then there'll be consultants. Like you could come in as a consultant because of your wisdom and your connection, make recommendations, right? And also on top of that, 25% of the proceeds are going to go to cleaning up the mangroves in Tulum because there's three environmental agencies working in Tulum. Right now, if no one was cleaning up the mangroves, in 10 years from now, Tulum would no longer be inhabitable because there is no plumbing in Tulum. 75% of the feces goes into the freshwater cenotes, which are the second largest fresh underground freshwater lake in the world, right? So by not only bringing in the indigenous people, but giving 25% to hopefully create a massive dent, maybe even arrange a cleanup with people that want to stay longer, right? And contacting every business in Tulum to let her know our mission. I think it's a recipe for one of the most successful festivals ever.
Oh,
You
certainly
know?
your heart is in the right place. Your intentions are brilliant. I love this. I haven't heard of anything like this. I know Aniwa does something where they pull together different indigenous factions, and it's a phenom. They do it once a year, usually in Big Bear here in California.
Ooh, I
So
want to
if
go one year.
yeah, I'll keep you aware. Well, you guys can see how exciting the things are. Definitely go to portaltoascension.org. If you sign up, you will become aware when Neil does things, and he constantly does things online and in person. Trust me, because I've been part of it. People come, attend, sometimes fly from all sorts of places, and it's always, when are you doing the next one?
Yeah,
That's how you know it's a good event. They just want to build the community and keep being a part of it. It's very important. So thank you for building community. I want to ask you also, because you've spoken, Neil, about galactic weather, about space anomalies. What do you think is currently happening in our solar system that's influencing the collective awakening on Earth?
So I'll go back to an article that I read from Russian scientists. I read this article around 8, 9 years ago, okay? And so the concept of ether, a lot of people that get into metaphysics and esoterics recently or within the last decade might not realize that this is a concept that has been accepted by mainstream scientists ever since Newton and Galileo. They've been speaking about ether, right? Back then, more of esoteric trying to figure out, oh, what could it be that connects everything together? Even Pythagoras's people and the Milesian philosophers before Pythagoras were speculating, what is the nature of reality? Milus, I think, thought that it was based on earth. One of his people thought it was air. And then one of his other people, students, thought it was ether. So even back in 300 BCE, they've been speaking about these concepts. So fast forward to now, we see that there's dark matter, and there's some sort of building blocks in the universe that everything comes from. The movie The Fifth Element. What is the fifth element? The fifth element was ether, and that being was a personified version of this ether. It wasn't personified until she became humanoid on the planet. So the reason why I'm giving this backstory is because so the Russian space scientist over 10 years ago now released an article saying that the heat of the climate of our entire solar system is increasing. The temperature of every planet is increasing, and it's happening across the board. And what we believe is occurring is that we're going back into the photon belt in our galaxy, and a photon is a very high concentration of ether. You know, all physical matter comes from, obviously, we're all subatomic particles, but on the Newtonian level, there is some sort of nebulic dust, if you will, that comes out of wormholes that is left after a galaxy is created. These form to eventually become planetary bodies, organic matter, minerals, all these things, okay? So what is happening with our solar system is that we not only go around our galaxy, we're also diving up and down in a Fibonacci spiral, coincidentally enough, like this, around our galaxy, right? So imagine that we're shooting really fast ahead. We're going like this. We're spinning around, and it's all based on a pattern that isn't chaotic, but a beautiful geometry of the way it happens, right? So as this is occurring, we go above the galactic disk, the milk of the Milky Way galaxy. If you look into the night sky in some places in the world, you'll see this Milky Way, right? The milk of the Milky Way galaxy. We go above it 200 light years. We go below it 200 light years. And the whole 2012 shift was in alignment with a dive back into that galactic disk. That galactic disk is a very high concentration of ether. The frequencies that we're bombarded with on the planet are different than when we were not within it. The etheric element also increases the temperature of all of the planets in our solar system. And now, as we shift out of it, which has just happened recently, into the up on top of the galactic disk, there is now a different type of cosmic wave that is affecting Earth. And these aren't, you know, people say there's going to be an event, there's going to be a cosmic wave from the black hole. This is all quantifiable science through even all these space agencies that they know. Oh, there's a different frequency on top of the galactic disk. There's a different frequency below it, right? So that's what's happening with our solar system. And the trajectory of our solar system just so happened to go in alignment with the great year, 25,000 to 26,000 years. We do 13,000 years on top, 13,000 years on the bottom. So this great year of 13,000 and 13,000 represents evolutions and devolutions of consciousness. So, quite literally, all the things that we've been talking about, cycles of time, 26,000 year cycle, ascension process, is actually physically being manifested in the position of our solar system as we rotate around the galaxy. So, to me, it's interesting to note that this isn't just some pie in the sky. We might be evolving. There's a 13,000 year shift into a golden age. It's actually being reflected in the universe. And where we are in the universe, we can experience a different type of frequency that then thereby affects our consciousness. And that's what's happening scientifically, in my opinion, for us to move into this new dimension.
Really interesting. I love that you break it down in scientific terms. And so, with where we are right now in the Milky Way and all the planets you said are heating up, is this actually assisting our ascension or compelling it onto us, impelling it onto us, like ascend or bust kind of thing?
I think it's inevitable that the energies are ripe for ascension. Now, if you look at all these ancient civilizations, especially India, because they have the most information on what happened during the ages, right? Most other civilizations lost it, or they just have what the ages were called, or if you're in the Greek civilization, what type of human existed in each age, right? So in India, it goes deeper, and they say that in every single age, there are those that are still belong to the other ages that live in that age. But for example, we've been in the Kali Yuga, one of the dark ages, so-called dark age. But there are groups and communities and people that live on this planet, living in the golden age, but are coexisting with us on this planet, right? Whether they're in Earth, in the Amazon, I don't know. And but then when you go higher and higher in ages, whatever age you're in becomes the majority of people in that age. But then there's always some people that choose not to wake up, right? And then that could be the whole frequency shift. You just end up not seeing them because you're coexisting in two different frequencies, right?
Or
So,
timelines, right?
yeah. But one thing that I have noticed is that when you shift into another age, there's always a group of people that try to keep the information and try to keep themselves firmly planted in the age before, because we've identified with it so much, generations from it. And so when the systems crumble, a lot of people go kicking and screaming because everything they identified with starts to crumble as well. And we see that right now in what's happening in this age. And so that happens in the upturn in consciousness, where we're going into the higher one and people are trying to keep us back in this other one. And it happens in the downturn in consciousness, where we go in lower in consciousness, but then people try to keep us in the higher ones.
Do
Okay.
you think that is even includes when you say certain factions? Like, I understand the people kicking and screaming, like, this is the way it is. This is what I know. They don't understand. They don't have the fluidity to change or conceive it could be better. But what about like the deep state and things like that? Is that also institutions wanting to keep us back, wanting to keep us in the dark?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of a few different things. Is that there are those that are aware that are trying to keep us back down, right? There's maybe those that know that the cycles exist and it's inevitable, right? And then there's those that are just living out programming that are completely ignorant to the fact that there's a shift going on. I think lots of stuff's happening. Whether there's some higher level, a quote unquote, nefarious energy out there that is really trying to keep us down, I don't know. Because if that nefarious energy is omnipresent enough or knows enough, that when if we as regular people in the world know about those cycles of time, why wouldn't that energy know about it as well? You know what I mean? If there's some advanced ET race. So I like to go back to the Gnostic text where we talk about when God said to his angels, I'm creating this place, this earth. I need someone to go down there and be the volunteer to give them the darkness, right? Who raised his hand? This is before Lucifer became what we know him as now. Lucifer raised his hand, his most trusted angel. God wouldn't send a reject down here to run Earth and give him that darkness. He sent his most trusted angel, Lucifer, right? But what did God say in the New Testament within the Gnostic text to Lucifer is that you have the keys to the kingdom, but when the Christ comes back down, you need to give back the keys. Okay? So that I'm paraphrasing, but basically that is the return of the Christ consciousness, the second coming, the return of Krishna, the Jews' actual prophet that they've been waiting for, the Muslims' prophet they've been waiting for. This is it. Not an individual, but the return of the Christ consciousness. But Lucifer had to willingly give up the keys to the kingdom. So if there are those out there that are willingly doing, intentionally creating darkness, I think that they would be aware that the time is over for them to do that. You know?
I hope so. And that's what I'm living on right now is
Please don't.
whatever they're doing, it's coming up to be healed. It's coming up to be seen. It's shining the light on the dark.
Plus, like, what are they really doing right now is everything that is happening from that deep state energy, whether it's like musical industry, Hollywood, politicians, is they are literally exposing themselves and the whole system on such an unprecedented level that we're having no choice but to face it. And they're triggering people on such a deep level that the deep underlying triggers that you wouldn't have confronted otherwise are now coming to the surface for you to deal with. You know?
Absolutely.
It's in.
Absolutely. Yes. It's
Someone told me once, my friend told me, you Dr. Dream, you might know him. He said to me that everybody thinks they're healed until they get into a relationship, right? And because he told my ex-wife was like, oh, I healed all my daddy issues. And then he said that about to her, right? And the political archetype is the daddy issues, the trauma of the abandoned father, right? Is the control and the sovereign. We're becoming sovereign. But we used to consider them the sovereign, right? So what's coming up here is we're in this relationship that we are like, Daddy, Daddy, are you gonna come now? Are you gonna come home now, knock on the door and save me and tell me everything's okay? Yes, I will, and I'm gonna tell you how I'm gonna do it. And then I become in office and then I just completely screw you over. And then you're like, well, maybe Dad will come back in 4 years. That's quite literally what's going on. And it's triggering us on that level. And so you have the ability to become a victim to that, you become ability to be a master to that. And that's why perspective goes a long way when it comes to being scared and upset and angry, or realizing the bigger picture and confronting the things that are really coming up within us when we see these things that are triggering us in our external environment.
Absolutely. And I also understand like the original wound, even before parental wound, which many people have, is the separation from source.
That's
And
what it is.
so this whole thing of living in amnesia that we're separate from, not a part of, that we have to pray to something and hope to God that it will fulfill our desires or save somebody or, not give us that health issue. But this whole separation thing is an original pain. And then if another level is for a lot of people who are star seeds, this also separation from your galactic family, this abandonment, this whatever happened to my tribe, I'm alone here. It's big. And, I will even add, you were talking about sort of the catastrophes, the cataclysms that happen on Earth, like the flood, the fire, et cetera, that wiped out everything at the time. That is also a PTSD for people, plus Lemuria and Atlantis, and it's a lot.
And it's interesting because the flood, I literally say in my presentations when I speak about it, is the question, could we have experienced a collective trauma that has now been lost to mythology, but it was such a deep trauma that it affected the way we're living on Earth. And that has happened, but we're so unconscious, and so many of us have amnesia, if not full amnesia, that it's those traumas are lying within our subconscious mind. And what happens with these triggers externally is it brings up those traumas locked up in our subconscious mind. And the
I
more
know
you're
that this
aware
is
you are,
true because for anybody whose family experienced genocide or slavery, et cetera, we know scientifically that it gets passed down in the DNA. So, for instance, my father, and other family members were Holocaust survivors. His story is unbelievable. And when I was young, I once had someone else of the Jewish faith who found that out about me, that my father was a survivor of the Holocaust. And they said, oh, you're a second generation. And I'm like, What is that? And they said, oh, you might want to go to a support group because there are things that live in you that you never experience, but they belong to your father. And also, since you're Jewish and there's been a lot of trauma, there's probably a lot of ancestry you'd want to check out. And that was a big awakening. I was very young. So if that's true, right, just on this very Earth 3D level of whatever your ethnicity is, and many people have experienced this in their ethnic groups, then also when you expand that to catastrophes on Earth and things about being separated from and torn apart and et cetera, it's deep. I believe it lives in the body and it gets triggered.
Yeah, exactly. And that I think that's epigenetics, right? When we have the ancestral. And when I was in my first plant medicine ceremony, I saw seven generations of ancestral trauma. And this is 2016. This is before I knew about seven generations of epigenetics, right? So to me, when I found out that later that the science shows that we hold the trauma for the last seven generations, and I saw that all the way back to the 1400s in India, and what happened to all the males in my family, I realized I was here to stop that cycle, right? And so yeah, we carry that and so much more, because the galaxy, as beautiful as we've had experiences, there's been some craziness too. And genetics has been the biggest commodity throughout the universe, and the amount of wars, battles, disagreements, violations of free will, all these things that have occurred has really created an aura of like anger between many civilizations. So what they've done is now they've all donated DNA to Earth, and we are now all of them merged in one body. And it's almost like civilizations that maybe didn't have too much of a connection before, or maybe had hatred with each other, both have descendants in us. We are their descendants. And the way time works is we're also their ancestors, because we become they become our offspring becomes them as we go venture to those stars in our timeline, you know? So it's like, yeah, so Earth to me is a processing center for galactic trauma. And the thing is, like, when I say that, I realized the other day, some people can take that very heavily, like trauma, right? And it's all about really allowing these things to be expressed and feeling it rather than avoiding what comes up, you know? It doesn't have to be so dark. It doesn't have to be so evil, you know? With our simple breath and our breath work and through chanting, these things can go. But I don't think that we're just processing our own individual trauma. I feel like our DNA is connected to so many lineages of what we've been, because so many people on Earth have been gifted Earth because of how advanced and how many experiences they've had through the universe, right? This isn't just a walk in the park coming down to Earth. You know, we ch not only did we select to be here, we also elected to be here. You know what I mean? And now we're here and we're dealing with it. And for what I feel is going to happen through this simulation, our DNA is connected to the code of the simulation. The code of the simulation processes through our DNA and that projects the hologram of everything around us. And what happens as we heal these traumas, our DNA does the reverse effect, where that frequency penetrates through the matrix and also creates harmony through the cosmos.
Oh God, that was so incredible. It was like a mic drop right there. That's very fascinating. So I want to take this conversation into what you are doing right now, which again, four times Scorpio, this is so perfect for if anybody is to explore and work with people on and teach shadow work. That's you. You were built for this. So here you are, Neil. You're exploring this very cosmic dance of light and dark. Is darkness truly a force to be feared, or is it a teacher, or is it an amalgam of both?
Everything is both in this reality, because it's everything's paradoxical. But sometimes the both, the illusionary part of it being fearful, is needed for us to actually play the role on this stage. Because if we didn't play that role, then we wouldn't be engaging in the reality that we created for ourselves, right? So that's my feeling. So now, is the darkness to be feared? When I was in Bali a few months ago, I was in Vipassana, and this is when the whole shadow work course just came to me in one meditation sit. And in a few mo in one meditation sit, I had some visuals that came to me, and one of them was, the first I saw what a lot of people have told me before, or I've heard people say on YouTube, that the light is so strong that when you put a light switch, when you switch on the light in a room, the darkness runs away in fear, right? The darkness runs away in fear of the light because it's like, get me the hell out of here. And so I saw that scenario in my mind's eye, complete equanimity, not trying to create anything, just breathing, feeling sensations. And that's when you know, like, whoa, something's going on. I'm not trying to create this. And I saw a dark room and then a being of light come into the room, flip on the switch. And then in the corner of the room, I saw maybe a 12-year-old apparition of blackness, a dark shadow, 12-year-old dark shadow in the corner of the room, quivering in fear. And I realized that the darkness is such a fragmented, on this dimensional plane, is such a fragmented part of creation for so many millennia, so long, has took such a journey to get to this point that it doesn't even recognize itself in the light anymore. Even though the dark and the light both came from the same original source, they don't see self in each other. And the light doesn't see itself in the darkness because the light and the darkness were not there in the beginning. In the beginning was the word, was the frequency. The light and the darkness both came after the frequency split into infinite potential, right? So the light sped up to become this apparition of beauty and harmony. The darkness slowed down to become black holes, to become space, to become eventually the Kali energy on Earth, destruction, and then evil and polarity and all this stuff was involved in it. So to answer your question is the ultimate bigger picture that I feel will help us move forward is seeing that darkness isn't something to be feared, but has been a necessary evil, quite literally, on this earth to give us catalyst to growth. Because in a world of amnesia, you need darkness to know the other polarity. Because you don't, if you didn't have amnesia, you would know it all already, right? And darkness isn't always evil. Darkness could be social anxiety. Darkness could be a little challenge that you have in your life, like transcending how to communicate better to a loved one, being yelled at your whole life, and now you don't have the communication skills to talk to your partner and you're trying to figure it out. Those are all shadow aspects of yourself that you're attempting to figure out. Could go all the way to atrocities, even, right? So the darkness, that's why a lot of people, when they do work with the darkness, they send it back to the light, right? They're not trying to destroy it, they're trying to reconcile it together. And once we start seeing that it's not a battle between light and dark, but it's a dance between the two of them, right? And we figure out ways to embody that by not reacting in such a traumatized way ourselves when we see the darkness manifest in external reality. Because you can't imagine, like, how could somebody do that? How could they even do that? I would never do that, right? But we're a product of our environment. We're a product of our traumas. We're a product of our soul contracts. Everybody becomes something based on something that's happened to them, you know? And when we start realizing hurt people, and we stop looking at things from a place of reaction, but start looking again, going back to the beginning of this, to what is the root of how this even created in the first place? What happens during childhood to make people end up becoming like this person does? You know what I mean? What are ways that we can create a system in society that doesn't perpetuate this happens even more, right?
Then do you interpret this interplay between light and darkness as part of this cosmic evolution we're going through right now? Is this inherent in our ascension and heating up, coming to terms with Pachacuti, all of that experience?
The only way to achieve the multidimensional reality that we are destined to be on Earth, because we're humans living in a fourth dimensional plane in a third dimensional body. And because the fourth dimension is the space-time, is the movement within the three dimensions, right? So the only way to truly become that in the level that we want to tap into all these dimensions while we still exist in physicality and we don't just become oversoul apparitions, right? Is to go through the polar opposite. The darkest of dark that you receive in this polar in this world allows you to embody that polar opposite of the lightest of light. Say that darkness was only a tiny fraction here and the mad atrocities in the world never even existed. What's the polar opposite of that? Only a little bit in the light. what we've been given the opportunity for is to experience such depth of what it means in this world to have darkness and control and manipulation and corruption, that the only solution after we learn those lessons is to be able to embody those polar opposite frequencies. So if we are going to be the planet that I feel that we're created to be, then all of those dark experiences were definitely meant to happen and be created. Now, when we go into this next dimension, duality will still exist, but the challenges in of what we exist in now won't be the same. For example, when you have, if the only time duality doesn't exist is if you're the singularity, and then you're just part of it all, right? So there's duality, but I feel the human's destiny as well is how to exist within oneness, how to exist in singularity while walking through duality. A paradox, once
So
again.
beautifully said. I so get that. You just articulated something I've tried to express in my very meager way, but that was beautifully said. Powerful, so powerful. If people can embody that instead of reacting to everything they see out there, whether it's on a small level, a situation, a group, etc., or it's on the global platform right now. There is a lot of reactivity and politics and so forth, and it doesn't help anybody. It certainly doesn't help the person reacting. So let me take this a step further from this beautiful thing that you just encapsulated for us. So then, how do we embody this wholeness by integrating our shadow, especially in these times of global polarity?
Yeah. How do we integrate this, the polarity? How do we integrate our shadow is basically the question, right?
How do we integrate our shadow, but also how do we embody this wholeness you're talking about? So instead of seeing or experiencing and having an entire not positive experience over it, something that could set us back, but you were talking about acknowledging all of that because we live in dualism, period, but still keeping to this commitment of who we came here to be of the light, etc. So how do we embody wholeness and how do we also integrate our shadow during these very turbulent times?
Right. And I'll say for me, what I'll say what I'm using, because I'll give some grounded tools here. And for
Great.
everybody's a little bit different. For example, as I think I've shared with you, I put an app blocker on my phone in order for me not to be distracted so that I don't, every time I'm feeling something, I don't just pick up my phone and go on it. I literally sit with it. You know how many,
And
you know the,
disassociate.
yeah, you know the concept of like when you go to a store or you're waiting somewhere, instead of just standing there feeling awkward, you go on your phone. If somebody comes in the room or you're walking past someone on the street, you pick up your phone so you don't have to make eye contact because it's a little awkward. You know these things, right? I'm not the only one.
Elevators, all of it.
So that's, I'm going to start with that like really kind of small kind of thing that will go bigger here. And so looking at what are the distractions in your life that you utilize to distract you from feeling or being confident in life, right? That allow you to perpetuate your insecurities. Okay. Well, that was deep for me because of how much insecurities I had growing up. Now, the understanding of feeling is healing is very important. One of my meditations now is because I had a lot of anxiety my whole life, and even nowadays, not so much in the last few months, but I'll wake up with anxiety. I went and got my cortisol checked in a few months ago, and you got to go between before 9 a.m. so that they can get the results. And I was like 0.1 mcg away from like being too high, right, in the morning, because I wanted to check out because I'm trying to dial in my health. And I realized like I had had so much programming as a child to be so fearful in the morning time when I was woken up, and the way I was woken up, that every time I wake up, I need to shake off this feeling. And so part of my meditation now used to be actually, because now it's shifted a bit, is I would wake up feeling that, and instead of moving or jumping on my phone or getting to work or having some music on, I would just sit for 10 minutes and feel what it feels to be anxious, and then get to a point of breathing where I just allow myself to be the observer of the anxiety rather than involved in it. That's the difference between someone who experiences anxiety and someone who has a panic attack is how involved they are in that anxiety. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and so then feeling is healing is key. A couple other modalities, breath work and chanting, allow you to get straight to that focused energy and feeling the upliftment afterwards. That one's great too. Now, questions that you can ask yourself to get to a place of wholeness. What is coming up for me? Why do I think this way about this person? What fear does me thinking about this bring within me? Why am I fearful of this? Good example, politicians. A lot of people have for a long time thought Republicans are all racist, right? And what does that bring up for why do I think this person is this way? What evidence do I have that suggests it? If this person is this way, what is the fear that I truly have behind that fear, right? And getting like, you know what I'm saying, going down layers and layers and layers to get to the point of what your fear is rather than coming with anger, because that's what we do is we come up with anger and we become self-righteous and then we can't even make changes in that world, but it just pisses us off and we become even more depressed, right? So if we get to the point of really seeing what was happening with our energy, why are we feeling these ways, we could still hold that energy accountable for who they are and what they've done. Okay. But in a way where we're not triggered by it. And that's when you start making a reform in society. And I believe you've seen my New World presentation where I break down different institutions in the world and how they can change. And within that, I talk about education and I talk about the criminal system. The justice system is the best explanation of how we treat humans and how we just shun people away based on even mostly psychological trauma. The reason why people do it is because they are in a situation where they don't think they have any other choice, right? Our prison systems are designed to make you even more a criminal before you get out of prison. The jail system on a different level, but the prison system 100% makes you a worse person. You
Yes.
can, maybe not, but if you're not in a gang, you will have to join a gang in prison to survive, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's because we don't ask these questions and we don't really look at what's coming up within us. Instead, it's this holier than thou mentality that has been inflicted from the top down on, I would never do that. And since you've done that, we just need to throw you away so we can just live happily on earth, right? And part of the unification is really bringing everybody in. How do we restructure the way we think about how we are and how we what we do? And if we can start implementing that into universities and schools, right? Because the book's already out there. You know, all this information is out there. It's not hidden. The psychology books about this and all that. If we started implementing it a little bit more, then I think we can start creating that new world.
And this one that you just gave us, it is so big. Yes, we use technology for sure. I relate so much to what you're saying. For me, how it manifested was if something traumatic happened, it could be a breakup or something like big emotional, I would immediately disassociate and throw, I would start working. I think if you were looking on the outside, like you're a little angel on the wall watching me, you'd think this woman's crazy. Something this huge just happened, zero emotions, like 12 hours of work. And I never knew this about myself. And one day, because I had done so much healing work, I literally recognized how I disconnect that the to feel something of that magnitude for me kind of meant I was going to die. It was just so overwhelming to be in it. And so I had to, because still the default was to go into work, I had to recognize, I'm heading to work, pause off, just breathe. Just breathe. You're going to live, I swear. Just breathe and be with this sadness, whatever it was, heartbreak, da da da. And in years of retraining myself to just be with, to acknowledge. And now it's on way more subtle levels. I think because I'm a Cancerian with a Scorpio moon, dear God, right? I feel so deeply. And so I still have to, but way subtle levels, train myself to acknowledge the reality of what's going on and how it is affecting me and be okay to be with it. Not always the most comfortable for me.
Yeah.
But this is so big, I feel, in a world that is predicated by entertainment constantly set up to take us away from ourselves, who we are, and how we feel.
Right. And back to like the powers that were, the powers that think they are, there's the systems have been created in a way to create is I think the word is docility, docile, docility, right? And to assist people in into blocking their emotions and expressing and feeling the way they want to feel, right? And also the way that the work system is created, it's created in a way where you need to put aside a lot of your feelings just so you can be a productive member of society. So on some level intentionally and on some level unconsciously, yes, generally the whole thing happened for a reason, but it's put us in a way where we're all collectively experiencing disassociation on some level, not being able to see bigger aspects of all the things that are going on around us. And then for me, like I had mad dissociation from my traumas as a child. I was literally up into my adult years just completely checking out of conversations, you know? The last year I felt because of working out, I felt more in my body than ever before. So that's the thing is like there's been kind of a war on our consciousness, and the war on our consciousness is try to keep us from feeling all of this. So the best way to really solve it is really to go through that feeling, feel the pain, feel all this stuff. And that's why the universe is making all these things come to the surface right now. Now you're having no choice. Go back to the whole thing. You have no choice but to feel it because you're seeing that this system is crazy. We're literally seeing how the matrix is. Right? The amount of stuff that's been exposed by government in the last like 10, 15 years, that the who how corrupt they are on every deepest level, right? And stardom, people consider celebrities, oh my God, I want to be like that person, the best person like ever. And now we're just realizing to the core of it all, the root of that whole thing was based on lies and disgusting stuff, you
Yeah.
know? So what
And
is
don't
it
you
doing? It's
think
bringing it
also
to
there's a
surface.
component in here, going back to the Pachacuti, of masculine toxicity, which is like work, 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 work overtime, don't cry, you're a baby, suck it up, stiff upper lip. And this is going to be part of the healing right now is the rise of the divine feminine, which is male and female both, that we come inside, that we're okay with feelings, okay with receiving, okay with this docility, but in a beautiful way, a serene, surrendered way.
Right. And also, yeah, the divine, there is no divine masculine as the default setting on earth right now. People have divine masculine in them, but that's not the default. The default is the wounded masculine. So all the things that you mentioned is that wounded masculine energy, right? It's perpetuated on the society in general. And then for men, because men tend to default mostly towards the masculine energy, women default mostly towards the feminine energy. And now there's a chronic depression amongst men. They even have a name for it. There's a low-level chronic depression, and it has a name for it. And over like 60, 70% of all men in the US have it, where it's just like this draining of their divine aspect that has been gone, that there's something missing. You know, there's more, the stats on loneliness in men is higher than it's ever been in recorded history, right? It's almost like 9 out of 10 in the surveys for all men, including married men in that, right? Deep underlying loneliness, there's something missing. Okay. We all feel it on some level, but a lot of people don't have the time to even figure out what it is, right? Because that's also how it's been created. Keep you in that rat race. Take a little break to take some time for yourself. You might not be able to support yourself or your family anymore. Right. So what's happening is the feminine is coming back, the masculine is coming back. Because when we have the balance of both right and left hemisphere and the masculine and feminine on that level, that's when we get into the gamma wave state. That's the genius brainwave state. And at that point, not only are we scientific, logical, and able to linearly move forward in our progression in time, but we're able to artistically tap into the divine aspect of creation. And imagine if you could do both of those things at the same moment, right? That's like the Egyptians. I feel that they were on it with that information.
Tell us about what you're about to offer the public. I know you're going to be doing the Shadow Workers course. Pull back the curtain. And how is this manifesting? How can people get involved with this?
So the Shadow Workers course starts August 16th. It's on portal2ascension.org under upcoming events, three down there, and full on course page there. You can take a look. It's a 3 month container. I have six different guest speakers coming on that will be doing different things. We're curating it in a really beautiful way where we have we make sure that we have meetings with the speakers beforehand so that we really hold the space in a way that flows, right? There'll be breath work, there'll be deep dives on what triggers come up for you. There's going to be homework assignments. There'll be times where you just sit in silence without your phone, without a journal for 1 hour, and then you just write down what comes up. And then we have a whole entire class just talking about what came up and why. Like, we're going to dissect our consciousness on a very, very deep level, all the way from the science of how the singularity became duality, how darkness eventually manifested, to extraterrestrials and the polarity between ET races, all the way to the nitty-gritty of what's going on within us, what are our own challenges, what are our insecurities, what we're working through. So in those 3 months, we'll be doing that together. It's the first time I've done anything like this. I definitely talk about it a lot, but curating something like this is the first time. And I just felt that with all the craziness in the world right now, that it would be good to at least for these 33 people, because it's 33 only, because you want to be intimate, for us to go through this space together to truly embody more of what we are about, and what we call in. Because a lot of us know what we want, but a lot of us aren't able to fully be that because of all the things that are blocking us from that, right? And we're blocking ourselves. So that's the Shadow Workers course, okay? And so with Portal to Ascension, I did take this year off from live events until another thing I haven't told you is I was in Sedona for 3 weeks and I just set up a monthly event in Sedona every single month on the third Saturday at the Humankind Center, starting in May. Yeah,
What
I'm
kind
not
of
gonna,
events?
it's gonna be a variety show. There's gonna be a 10-minute astrology thing with Raquel Spring. There will be a featured speaker, Vivian Chauvet, Debbie Solaris, Laura Eisenhower. I'm still curating everything. And then there will be a local musician to end it off, a 2-hour event every month. And it starts in May. And June and July, I'll be there, but I will only be there for 2 out of this whole year, but I'm producing the whole thing. And that's because at the end of next year, in October next year, in 2026, I'm doing a 4-day Sedona conference. Right. So I just signed the agreement with the Sedonia venue there. And so I'm really building up momentum because I've always wanted to really create a foundation for Portal to Ascension in Sedona, like a presence forever, right? So that's that project. But then in regards to other live events, so we have online events all the time going on, and we even have next week a free event called Egypt Anomalies Conference. 10 hours of anomalies of Egypt, free. It's gonna be good. Yeah. And so, okay, let me go to live events now. So, online events going on this year. Then, next year, March of next year, we're doing the cruise, and you're gonna be on there. It's a 10-day Greek and island and Turkey cruise. And if anybody wants to sign up, mysteryschoolatsea.com and use Debbie Dashinger as your referral when you check out, right? So, mysteryschoolatsea.com. That's gonna be incredible. So that's in March. April of next year, we're doing our San Diego conference, which will be 4 days in San Diego. August of next year, we're doing Glastonbury conference, which will be 4 days in Glastonbury, our annual conference there. Well, 6 days if you look at the whole thing. And then
So you
we
are
got
doing Glastonbury again
not this year, next year.
next year. Phew,
I'm not going
so
to
many
stop it.
people wanted to come back.
I'm not going to stop. It does too well. It's completely sold out. We
Yes,
could
it's amazing.
2 years ago, I had to turn people away because we couldn't seat them. So it's just so fun. It's the best event, honestly. You know how it was. We had such a good time.
Best.
And then we have Sedona, October 2026. 2027, January 2027, we have Heal the Music Festival Tulum. Right. And I got more planned, but I don't want to over inundate people with things. But let me just say this. I firmly believe in 2027, by summer 2027, everybody on the planet's going to know we're not alone in the universe. No, okay? So in summer 2027, I'm creating the first contact conference in San Diego, California, which will probably be the biggest one we've ever done. I'm getting a venue that's overlooking the ocean. The feet has thousands of people. We have psionics people there. We have UFO disclosure whistleblowers. We have spiritualists there. So what I'm doing right now is by spending this year not doing those big, large events, is I'm really setting up from 2026 to 2028, some of the biggest experiences we've ever done to make a really huge impact on Earth. And the Heal the Music Festival Tulum is definitely a part of that.
Beautiful. Holy moly. So, folks who are listening, portaltoascension.org, everything is there. Also, in the show notes and description, I'm going to have the link directly to the Shadow Workers course. So, you can sign up if you want to be one of 33. There's a limit there. So, definitely throw your hat in the ring to do that. I was going to ask you what you next dare to dream, Neil, but OMG. But hit us with a biggie for you. What do you next dare to dream that you have not created yet?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one of my dreams around everything I'm creating is I want to get billboards and bus stop signs, and I want to put like slogans on them for the big events we're doing, like we're not alone, or we will never alone. ETs exist. Portalsascension.org. So that's like, I have other dreams too. I've shared the biggest ones with you, but I want to do things on that level and really just start like getting into the mainstream with some of this awareness.
Awesome. I'm going to donate some rubber armbands that I have in different colors that say the ETs are here. And it has a little emoji of an ET and a
That's
spacecraft
so
on it.
cool.
That's my donation to your charitable movement.
I
Thank
love
you
it.
for coming on the show and for this amazing conversation.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you,
Always.
everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to end the show today with this quote. If anyone ever tells you your dreams are silly, remember there's a millionaire walking around who invented the pool noodle. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Leave a comment, share. I do read them all. Next week on the podcast, I'm interviewing Georgia Jean, who channels the non-physical partners, the Circle of Light. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. And remember, do something big. Don't run away from your feelings or whatever's coming up for you. Just take a moment and breathe through your experience. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DebbiDashinger. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.